You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Chicago Bears have already put out requests to interview a long list of potential head coaches, but not very many of them wow me, and all of them come with some very real flaws we need to pay close attention to. This is Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I'm here to bring you your daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. You can follow me on Twitter at CoxSports1. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Bears. You can like Locked On Bears on Facebook. Join the Locked On Bears Facebook group for even more Bears talk. And make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Bears YouTube channel to keep up with all of our video podcasts as well. Thanks for making Locked On Bears your first listen today and every day. We're here for you 5 days a week. And on the show today, we're going to start to get a sense of some of the Bears head coaching candidates, the guys that they've actually been reported to be requesting the opportunity to interview with. So far, I count 9 names that have been reportedly connected to the Chicago Bears, plus 10 general managers that we'll have to get into here on another time. But on the show today, we'll kind of touch base on some of the big names, right? We don't have time to break down each individual coach's full list of pros and cons throughout the podcast. There's just not enough time to do it. So instead of bringing on Larry Dyer from the Bears Talk Underground podcast, and we're going to talk about some of the top names on the list, and one name not on the list that keeps getting rumored out there, of course, Jim Harbaugh. We'll have to talk about that. We did a podcast last week sort of making some of the case for and against Jim Harbaugh specifically, but we'll kind of dive into some of the different dynamics that might go into that. Plus, you know, we have to talk Brian Daboll and Todd Peterson and Byron Leftwich and some of these other candidates, Dan Quinn, Leslie Frazier, that the Bears are looking at and trying to get a sense of why we're maybe not super thrilled by the list, why it feels like maybe sort of a down year, but that doesn't mean they're guaranteed to have a down candidate either, because we'll talk a little bit more about some of the Bears' past coaching hires and things, trends we see league-wide as to, okay, do we even have the ability to really accurately predict whether a head coaching hire is going to be good or not, or is this really a lot of a crapshoot? What's not a crapshoot is our guest today, Larry Dyer. He's the host of the Bears Talk Underground podcast, and he actually had me on his podcast for a more full discussion of the George McCaskey press conference, going back through the second half of the Bears season, and then looking ahead a little bit to the head coaching candidates. And so for Locked On Bears today, I'm just going to take a section of what was more than 2 hours of Larry and I talking on his podcast about all things wrapping up the Bears season and looking ahead. We're just going to take what I think ends up being 20 minutes or so of our conversation and play it here so you can get sort of a snippet of that. And if you want to hear even more of me and Larry going back and forth on the Bears, you got to check out the Bears Talk Underground podcast for the full discussion. But I want to turn to Larry now and sort of go into this pool of head coaching candidates. It's not like a deep group of like, oh man, wouldn't it be cool if this guy or that guy or all these guys could be the Bears head coach? Ooh, which one do we get to pick from? It's more like, which one has the fewest flaws? Like, which one do I think has the, which one can I live with the most? And so I'm a little bit not as thrilled about it this time around.
Where do you stand on Harbaugh?
Again, because of the quality of candidate pools, I'm in. I think a lot of the other candidates are bringing a lot of things I'm more concerned about than the concerns I might have with Jim. I mean, he's built winning, contending teams at Stanford, in San Francisco, and then now again with Michigan. Obviously, it took longer at Michigan, and there was plenty to not like, and there's been stuff to not like over the years as well, but I'll take some of the track record there of, like, do I think he's going to lead the Bears to multiple Super Bowls? I mean, not necessarily, but if he can get to championship games again the way he did in San Francisco, that's absolutely a proposition I'll sign up for, and I do think he would know what it's like to be a quarterback in Chicago. That'd be very good for Justin Fields, and he seems to be pretty good at picking coordinators, which is also a hard to know whether a coach is going to be good at that when they're a first-time head coach.
And I think that a lot of the guys on the list, their hire will be enhanced by who they bring in as their assistants. Like, I think one of the reasons that Harbaugh is a sexy pick for a lot of Bear fans is because of the potential return of Vic Fangio. Now that he's been let go in Denver, you know, would he come back to Chicago to be Harbaugh's defensive coordinator? You know, or will it be like, I was watching the recap after, like, on the football after show after the press conference on Monday night, Wonstadt was in there saying Fangio is going to go on vacation for a year because he's under contract with the Broncos for like 2 years or something like that. So he's just going to go ahead and collect his paychecks and take some time off. He's not going to dive right back into it with, you know, God forbid if Harbaugh, you know, gets a job somewhere. Would he follow Harbaugh to Vegas or Chicago or you know, any place that might entice him away from Michigan? I don't know, man. I love Jim Harbaugh. And when he was here in Chicago, obviously he had more success like in Indianapolis than he did with the Bears and everything. But just something with that just doesn't feel right to me. Like, I'm just not feeling it 100% that, you know, I'm not as gung-ho as other people are saying like Harbaugh, you know, just over and over again. It's got to be him. He's the perfect guy. Give him the job, blah, blah, blah. It's like I'm not in that boat. I mean, I just I'm having a hard time getting excited about that one.
Yeah, that's where I'm like, he's at the top of the list or near the top, if not the top of the list for me, because I don't love I have more concerns about a lot of the other candidates, but it's not so much like I love Jim Harbaugh and he's the perfect candidate. It's like, well, you know, I do have some concerns about, say, like Brian Daboll, like we talked about in terms of being very stubborn in terms of passing the ball way, way, way too much and not sticking to a running game when it would have helped Josh Allen, or making weird decisions at the goal line in the red zone, which has been very familiar for Bears fans. Or like, you know, Byron Leftwich in Tampa Bay. Only really been great with Tom Brady. How would he be? You know, I mean, each one of these kind of has these big question marks of like, well, I don't know if Leslie Frazier, he was not that great with the Vikings. At least Harbaugh has the more steady track record, even if I'm not in love with the personality and the way he sort of rubbed management the wrong way in San Francisco, and some very real concerns about how things played out in Michigan. It's like, well, I'll take his flaws and his successes more so. I just feel like there's some more consistency and reliability there than a much more of a wild card, I think, in a lot of these other candidates.
Yeah, that's like, you know, people are hot for Brian Flores now that he's been let go from.
He's up there for me too.
But also this is another guy that's out because of the way that he rubbed people the wrong way, not because of his win-loss record in Miami. 10-6 last year, 9-8 this season, you know, bouncing back from 1-7 to finish 9-8, they, you know, went 8-1 at the, you know, down the stretch, you know, and we're in playoff contention pretty much until like the last week of the season and everything. So it's not his win-loss record or getting guys to play for him. It's the fact that he and the GM were at odds, and the fact that he and Tua hated each other, apparently. And if you can't get along with your quarterback, the football team's going to have a hard time, you know, going on that. So it's like there's a red flag there. Like, the quality of the coach, absolutely. But, you know, he got run out of town because he didn't get along with people, not because he wasn't getting it done on the field.
And would he get along with Justin Fields? I mean, certainly he would claim to. I mean, of course, in his interview, of course, he's going to want to work with Justin Fields and all that stuff. Like, but then how do those relationships build over time? You just don't know. And at least, like, you know, comparatively with Harbaugh was winning, you know, 12 games and going to the Super Bowl, whereas Flores was impressive, but, you know, wasn't that level. Like, if I'm going to take the abrasive, we don't know if Flores is abrasive. That's probably not a fair characterization. But if I'm going to take the guy who has had relationship issues with management, I'll at least take the one that had even more success, and I'm stacking them up side by side. We'll keep stacking up some of these head coaching candidates side by side and go through some of the other names on the list when we come back with Larry Dyer here on Locked On Bears. The NFL playoffs are such a fun time to bet on sports, and if you're looking for an edge, our friends at OnlineGambling.com are here to help. Their website designed to give bettors that edge. Throughout the playoffs, they're providing you the best NFL tips, news, and more to help make your bets as informed as possible all the way up into the Super Bowl. So if you're planning on placing a bet in the playoffs, make sure you check out OnlineGambling.com. They provide the best and most trusted experience online all day, every day, including their OG tips section where you'll find their own Super Bowl picks, as well as the inside track on how to beat the odds throughout the NFL playoffs. Make sure you visit OnlineGambling.com/NFL for all the latest gambling news, tips, and info to beat the odds and give you the best edge throughout the playoffs. Remember, OnlineGambling.com/NFL to make the most out of this year's playoffs all the way up to the big game.
So, Doug Peterson, that was also another one where things went sideways with management and the general manager, but also because at the same time they went through one of the worst seasons they've had in a long time, and the you know, their quarterback, you know, got his, you know, where it was, went from being an MVP candidate to being one of the biggest jokes behind center in the NFL last year, and all that kind of stuff. I mean, there's red flags and concerns for all of them. I agree with you. It's like, I don't really have a leader in the clubhouse right now, as far as, you know, somebody's like, ooh, there's a candidate for us. And there's somebody who's, you know, there's a caveat to all of it. You know, Leslie Frazier, 85 Bear, great coordinator, but not a very good head coach in Minnesota. Not to mention, he's a little bit on the older side as well. So, you know, going from a guy that's in his early 40s like Nagy to a guy in his mid 60s, I don't think that's the move for the Bears, especially since we're kind of going through a youth movement right now. It's like, I know we still have guys like Robert Quinn and Khalil Mack on the team and things like that, but we're really trying to, you know, build this team around Montgomery and Fields, Mooney, Roquan, Jalen Johnson, excuse me, and everything. We're trying to build around those young guys. Do we really want to bring in somebody who's three times older than them? I mean, will he be able to relate to these young guys and things like that? So there's something for each one of those guys on the list. And, you know, I'm not really sure who I should be rooting for at this point.
That's the hard part, right? I'm just trying to go in then with like sort of low expectations. So maybe I won't be disappointed. It's like, oh, well, they'll pick somebody and they'll have some flaws and we'll analyze it as best we can and see what happens. Cause that's, again, we're just sort of hoping that George lucks into finding the right guy. Cause it's a weird process that they're going through to find him.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me started on general manager candidates. For me, I'm not so much of a football insider. I could even begin to say why this guy's a good candidate and why this one isn't, and everything. It's like, I don't really have a dog in the fight as far as general managers are concerned. It's, you know, obviously I'm a little bit more in on coaches and what have you. But you know, I'm with you. Like I'm not really getting my hopes up for the coach, because when I did this 4 years ago for Nagy, I wanted Pat Shurmur. I thought Pat Shurmur, after polishing the turd that was Sam Bradford and making him into a playoff quarterback and making Case Keenum an MVP candidate, that God forbid, what could he do with someone who has actual talent in Trubisky? You know, what could he do with someone who is, you know, mobile and has a good arm and all that kind of stuff, versus what he was able to do with, you know, Bradford, who was on like his third or fourth team by the time he got to Minnesota, and Case Keenum, who played for everybody else in the league as well. What could you do with somebody who's basically, you know, starting from scratch with him and everything? And instead, we were the first team to make a hire, and we hired the guy on the bottom of my list. Why was he on the bottom of my list? Because I never heard of him before, and he's our head coach. So there you go. So I'm not getting my hopes up, because it'll probably be the last guy that we expect, rather the guy whose name I don't really know, that will end up being the next head coach of the Chicago Bears.
And that's the thing, too. It's like, even if there's a coach that you think is about as close to a perfect candidate or whatever it might be, pretty rarely does that directly pan out that way, right? I mean, I even think, like, you know, Bill Belichick was not an obviously great hire for the Patriots. And, like, I don't know, it was Andy Reid kind of close, because he had had some success with Philadelphia. But I think we maybe, in retrospect, there's some sort of recency bias there, where maybe he was successful with Philadelphia, but clearly had a falling out there too, in the same sense that, like, you know, Doug Peterson or whoever might have too. So, like, even he to the Kansas City Chiefs wasn't like a necessarily like everyone knew it would be a home run type hire. There haven't been very many of those where it's like everyone thinks this is a great hire and it pans out to be a Super Bowl, you know, franchise defining type hire. So everyone kind of comes in with some of their question marks, and there's just no way for us to know, especially on the outside, whether a candidate's going to be actually good, even if we think they're good. And maybe the candidates that we don't think are going to be good could still turn out to be pretty good. I mean, I can't think of specific ones off the top of my head that fit that mold necessarily, of like a guy that no one thought would be a good head coach when they hired him and still turned out to be a pretty good one. I mean,
I got one that, that I thought was an absolute joke, and he's still not regarded as like a great coach, but he had some good years, before he ended up getting canned. When the Packers hired Mike McCarthy, I thought that was the biggest joke I had ever heard in my life, because he got hired because he was OC in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. When they had like the 29th rank offense in the NFL and they couldn't score 10 points a game or anything. It's like, this is who the Packers hired? That's ridiculous. And he ends up winning a Super Bowl. And, you know, thanks greatly in part to having Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback, won a lot more football games than he lost when he was out there in Green Bay. That's a guy who was like, they hired him, and then it ended up being a dynamite hire for them, or at least for the most part. That's one that jumps out for me.
That's why it's hard to come into this head coaching cycle with very much optimism. And honestly, that's why I kind of circle back to the Harbaugh appeal. It's like, well, he seems to fit the mold of coaches that have sort of worked, like coaches that have had some success at a previous stop, but not all the success, and maybe learn some lessons from that and come to the next stop. Like Frazier, you know, was pretty bad in Minnesota, right? I mean, it wasn't a complete dumpster fire, but it was not good. And I like the idea of like a coach who had some success, but it's also not the guy who won a Super Bowl and is just trying to do the same thing over and over again. Like, because I think somebody pointed out that no coach has ever won a Super Bowl as a head coach of two teams, at least not in the modern era that I'm aware of. Like, if you win one with the first team, they don't tend to end up winning one with the second team. And I don't think that's necessarily a fair. I mean, of course, there's such a small sample size of coaches who have won Super Bowls and then gone on to other teams. So it doesn't disqualify, say, Doug Peterson, for example. But like Harbaugh is like, oh, he had that success and got close. Let me try it again with a slightly different team and maybe a better quarterback and different ways to go about it and more modern and had some time to think and learn from it. Whereas some of the other retreads didn't give me as much confidence in how well they did in their job the first time.
It's a crapshoot, that's for sure. And, you know, to circle back to the beginning of this whole thing, the same dummies who made the decision 7 years ago when we brought in Ryan Pace and John Fox are making the decision again. So, I mean, at least we can blame Nagy on Pace because that was his hire.
You know, John Fox is another one where it's like Super Bowl winning veteran head coach they bring to Chicago, and obviously, he didn't inherit a very good team and was going to have some struggles along the way, but clearly just couldn't put that together either. It's not, I mean, Fox, not that he was necessarily like a grand slam home run hire, but like, I remember Bears fans feeling pretty good about him. Of like, okay, like this is good
about it, because he was, for the first time in a while, a guy who had the job before.
Yeah.
Whereas like how many times all the way back to like Ditka. From Ditka to Wannstedt to, you know, Jaron, none of these guys had ever been a head coach before. It's like, I think it's finally time for us to hire someone who's had the job before. And John Fox took two teams to the Super Bowl. He didn't win in either of those instances, but he's been where we want to go. He's, you know, got all this extensive experience. He just had, you know, like a 13-win team or whatever in Denver, but you know, they're looking for another guy to get them over the hump, kind of thing. So that's why he's available. You know, I was pretty excited about the hire. However, it just came out recently. That was not Ryan Pace. I mean, we all knew it wasn't Ryan Pace's choice, but we just found out, like, you know, about a month or two ago that Ryan Pace had a handshake agreement with Dan Quinn to be the head coach of the Bears before John Fox was basically forced on him. I mean, talk about a what if.
Yeah.
Also. Because we hired Dan Quinn in 2015. You know, maybe we stick with him a bit longer than we did with John Fox, who it was obvious the game had kind of passed him by. That's why John Fox, I mean, the results speak for themselves. I mean, what, 6-10, 3-13, 5-11. Yeah, you deserve to go after that. But a younger coach to go along with a younger GM, those guys maybe have been on the same page a bit more. Maybe we make some very different decisions with how to rebuild the football team and all that kind of stuff. Who knows how it goes.
To Fox's credit real quick, I mean, his first coordinators were Adam Gase and Vic Fangio. And obviously, like, Gase was a terrible disaster of a head coach, but like he did make what felt like good coordinator choices. And there's still some thought that maybe Gase could have some value as an offensive coordinator, just doesn't know how to run a football team. But like, right. he picked Fangio, and Gase was like, those were supposed to be home run hires too for the Bears. Like there was all the potential was there for that. And just never, for whatever reason. I mean,
that's the thing about that 2015 season. We were 6-10. We were, even though we were only one game better in the win column, we were a far better team than we were the year before under Tressman, where the inmates are running the asylum. And it was one of the more efficient years that Cutler's ever had. But it was such a good year that Gase got a job with Miami, and then we lost him, and we're stuck with Dole Loggins for the last 2 years of John Fox's tenure as that, head coach, which was a disaster of a decision on his part.
That was the problem. Like, I don't know. Had they kept Gase, would it have been, you know, worlds different? Because I mean, they still had quarterback issues with, you know, there was the Brian Hoyer, Matt Barkley year was in there, and then, you know, Trubisky's rookie season with Mike Glennon was you know, I don't know, could Adam Gase have salvaged those things? Not necessarily, but Dowell Loggins was an absolute disaster, and there's a reason that guy has, well, he's still an offensive coordinator, but it's certainly not progressed in the NFL.
But, you know, Gase was the Cutler Whisperer, man. His touchdowns were up, his interceptions were down, and that's really all we needed from Jay was him to stop throwing so many damn interceptions, you know? That's how we lost all those games to the Packers, was they were just waiting for Cutler to serve one up for him, and without fail, he would one game after another.
And very important correction, Dowell Loggins is now a college tight ends coach, which feels much more appropriate.
That's way more appropriate. That's what he should have been doing. He should be coaching positions, not running offenses, because, oof, man.
Yeah, hopefully we're pretty far past those types of days and conversation. But of course, it's all about trying to hit this head coaching and general manager hires correctly. And we'll kind of go through, step back a little bit from the candidates and look more at the process and how the Bears are going about this and where we have concerns and what we'd like to see coming up next with Larry Dyer with us today on Locked On Bears. Hey, Bears fans, want to tell you about a great app out there for anybody who ever fills up a car or any vehicle with gasoline. It's called Get Upside. And Locked On Bears listeners can make up to 25 cents per gallon cash back just for filling up the tank like you normally would. All you have to do is download the free Get Upside app and boom, the money goes right into your Get Upside account. There's no catch. The cash back is yours and you can cash out at any time. You can go directly to your bank account, or if you'd rather go through PayPal, they do that, or even just an e-gift card for Amazon and other online retailers. Simple enough. All you got to do is download the free Get Upside app, enter in our promo code Touchdown to get a bonus up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month cash back. So download Get Upside, enter in our promo code Touchdown for your 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Just because the NFL regular season is over doesn't mean there isn't plenty to bet on over at betonline.ag, the number one place we recommend for all of your sports wagering actions in 2022 and beyond. Of course, you have playoff football all the way up to props to the Super Bowl, but then you can bet on futures for the NFL draft, for college football, and then all the other sports. Baseball, basketball, boxing, golf, hockey, horse racing, martial arts, soccer, tennis, you name it, they have it at BetOnline, plus your favorite online Vegas casino games as well. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers they have this year. Sign up today for a free account and enter in our promo code LOCKEDON and you're going to receive a free 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's free money to play with at BetOnline, where the game starts.
I'm interested to see how this all pans out. I like that it's a wide net that the Bears are casting. So it's not like, oh, we're bringing in these three guys and that's it kind of thing. They're casting a wide net. So I don't know how I feel about this one tweet that I saw online was that this other person was tweeting that, you know, they like that they're casting a wide net. They're leaving themselves an opportunity to be wowed. I don't want them to be wowed. I want them to hire the best guy because I get a feeling that they've hired these interview darlings and when probably passing over the best actual candidate for the job kind of thing. Like, you know, obviously having a good interview is important, but who is the best person for the job? Is this the guy that really made you laugh your ass off during the interview, or was the guy who's got a plan for our offense going forward? I mean, I don't really care so much about the Bears being wowed so much as I am in picking the right guy, the best guy for the job.
That's what I've always been concerned about with George McCaskey, right, is because he's not a football evaluator. He's at best a businessman or whatever. Like, that felt to me like in through this interview process that either Harbaugh or Frazier can go to George and say, listen, you know, I played for the team. I know how important success is for this franchise and what it means to the city, and I want to bring a championship back to Chicago because I understand it. And all these, you know, all the nostalgia and the hope and the meaning and all these great motivational things, which are good. I mean, those are not bad things for a coach to expound and to include as maybe part of his pitch or whatever it might be. But like, that shouldn't take weight over like, hey, here's how I'm going to lead human beings. Here's how I'm going to be held accountable. Here's how we're going to maintain transparency. And then here's also my plans for football field and X's and O's too. Like, I mean, there's those two layers, especially the first with the leadership and how you interact with other human beings. To me as a head coach and especially general manager, like those seem like priority number one and then X's and O's. And then if you can also sell me on some of the return to glory Chicago Bears legend type thing, sure, that's fine too. But like the other stuff should come first, and I don't fully trust George to be able to properly evaluate the other stuff and not maybe get sucked in a little bit on like returning the glory of Grandpa Hallis or great Grandpa Hallis or whatever. I always forget the lineage there.
Yeah. Just Grandpa. Yeah. It's, I mean, like I said, I had a shiver run down my spine when I read that tweet. I was like, that's probably where we've been going wrong this whole time. Is that we're picking the guy that gave the best interview as opposed to the guy that's best suited for the gig. And I mean, chief example being Trestman over Arians. I mean, that's Trubisky over Watson and Mahomes right there. So, I mean, it's just a decision that could not have been more wrong. And, you know, it just sussed out to be the worst possible choice you could make was picking Trestman over Bruce Arians and everything. That is Trubisky over Watson and Mahomes as far as like the caliber of decision that was made there.
And you can see the translation there of like, you can imagine, and this is all sort of hypothetical, maybe it's not fair, but hypothetically, like Bruce Arians goes in the interview and is a little bit more cut and dry and a little bit more to the point, to the business, maybe abrasive, maybe not, but you know, the Bruce Arians style is no nonsense, you know, just cut to the chase. And Mark is much more, or seemed like much more of a kind of a thoughtful, you know, thought out, well-spoken, not that Bruce Arians isn't well-spoken, but you know what I mean? Like Mark is going to come in there and really deliver and nail this full presentation. And Bruce is going to come in there and be a football guy, you know, and tell you about how the team is going to go and how we're going to be tough and lead and all that stuff. And I can see where in my mind, you can envision a scenario where Mark Trestman nails the interview and gets the job. And Bruce didn't give them that same warm and fuzzy feeling that Mark was able to expound upon.
Not to mention a couple weeks ago on the after show, Lance Briggs said that, there were three coaching candidates that were presented to Rod Marinelli, who was the, you know, our DC for Lovey and one of the more beloved coaches during that era for the Bears. And they asked him to rank the three coaches, like, you know, basically who would you stay for? Because the Bears really wanted to keep Marinelli, especially after the year they had in 2012, you know, most turnovers, like 9 defensive touchdowns and all that kind of stuff. And Trestman was number 3. Arians was number 1. And they hired Trestman.
Do you remember who number 2 was, who the third coach was? I can't remember.
I don't remember either. Yeah. I mean, for me, it was always Arians. Arians was the guy. I mean, Lauren, I was over the moon that we actually interviewed him. Because how many times did we have, like, this free agent would be perfect for the Bears. We never even talked to him. Or this is the candidate that I'd like the Bears to talk to as far as coaching or whatever. And there was never an interview or a phone call or anything like that. I mean, I thought it was a huge step in the right direction. Like Phil Emery is a genius. We actually interviewed Bruce Arians. This is the guy we got to have. And Bruce Arians thought the job was his. He thought he was going to be the head coach of the Chicago Bears. And then they gave the job to Trestman.
Wasn't it like the very next day the Cardinals hired him? Like he was clearly just like waiting for the Bears to tell him no.
And then he took an inferior roster to a 10-6 record his first year. Meanwhile, Trestman puts together one of the best offenses a Chicago Bear team has ever had, but he hired Mel Tucker as his defensive coordinator. And we all know how the defense was during his entire tenure. Those 2 years in Chicago, we had the worst defenses in the league. But if we hire Bruce Arians, Rod Marinelli stays, and who knows how it goes.
It's so. and yet here we are at 8-9 years later in the same spot, same for the most part.
Spot, yep.
And that's kind of where this team has come full circle, where we have all the concerns and fears and worries about the direction of the team under George McCaskey and doing a lot of the same things. And that's where we're going to leave it for now with our friend Larry Dyer from the Bears Talk Underground podcast. If you want to hear our full 2+ hour conversation on the Chicago Bears, the podcast is Bears Talk Underground. You can find it wherever you're listening to the Locked On Bears podcast right now. I want to thank Larry for having me on his podcast and being a part of our Locked On Bears experience as well. Appreciate you tuning in and making Locked On Bears your first listen today. If you're looking for a second podcast listen, I'll shout out Bears Talk Underground, but also we've got Locked On NFL for your national NFL coverage looking ahead at the playoffs. Locked On Bets as well for all of your sports betting needs. And so many more across the Locked On Podcast Network. Here for you with your team every single day. Locked On Bulls, Locked On Cubs, Locked On White Sox, Locked On Blackhawks, all your Chicago sports here on the Locked On podcast as well. But of course, I hope the Locked On Bears podcast specifically has made it just a little bit easier for you to bear down.